Welcome back to the Trot Spot, where we're going to talk about everything running. It's prepare to get high off this podcast as you cruise down your street or park at a speed between 5 to 10 miles per hour. Let's keep it slow, y'all. Let's keep it safe. I'm your captain here, and I'm in the front of the trot, breaking the wind.
Okay.
It's me, Alex, and behind me in a straight line so as to maximize wind deflection, we have Lawson Leong.
Hey, what's up, Captain Alex? I'm here. I'm Lieutenant Lawson Leong. It's real alliterative when you say it all together.
Lawson, take this baton I'm handing you.
I will take it. I will take the baton. And away I go. There I go. There, I'm taking the baton.
All right, Lawson's running fast in front of me, and I am stopping, and I'm holding my knees, and I'm throwing up because I ran so hard. I don't think I could run any further. And then Lawson is getting to, he's pulling in front of this last runner. I've never seen one of these races, and I'm not clear exactly how it works.
Here, take this, Jeremy. Here.
Thank you.
Jeremy
and
Kaplowitz.
I've got the baton.
As a baton. He's
and a referee just walked up to me and said that we did not do the race right. And we've been disqualified.
The fact that he could walk up to us, really embarrassing, because we are running full speed.
Yeah, we are running. We're the first ever running podcast where we all have a little microphone, a little lav mic, and we record.
Yeah, it
while
sounds
running.
Like shit. It sounds way worse than a normal podcast.
We thought it would be a good gimmick podcast, but it's really loud, and we can't talk that easily because we're running.
Right. Also, we're not in that good shape.
it's mostly the audio of me panting into the mic.
Most of the audio is just people going like,
and then when you do say something, it's kind of like angry and shitty because you're in so much pain from the like exercise. Not really a good conversation. And that's what this show is what I wanted to say up top. Hello. What's your favorite kind of run?
I prefer cannonball.
Let's all go in a circle, or as runners say, a line.
Yeah.
I prefer cannonball, specifically.
Cannonball run.
Yeah. If I had to choose.
Yeah. I like, I think I'd go with having the runs.
Uh-oh.
Number
we got
one
trouble
run.
Here. We got trouble here with this guy's favorite run. What's my favorite run? When I'm shitting because I can't. I'm too sick.
That's my number one run. I'll take that over any other.
I have no control over when my waist leaves, and that's my favorite.
You know what? I'll admit it. Maybe it started off as a problem, but I'm trying to own it. All right. And I'm trying my best to, if I'm going to have the runs all the time, I might as well make it a fun bit for myself.
You're like the Joker, but for IBS, where it's twisted you, molded you into the freak you are today.
We're all just one bad day from
one day. You just have to realize that you don't control when you shit. Introduce a little chaos to your underwear.
Do you want to know how I got these brown pants?
Do you want to know where I got this shart?
Good, like 2008 humor.
And everyone loses their minds.
See, I'm not a schemer.
Poop in one of the Home Depot toilets that's not plugged into anything.
He also blows up a children's hospital. He kind of does the same stuff.
He shits as he does the walk away. He shits himself.
The most important is he's crazy from all the shitting he does, and he's still violent and bad.
I looked in your friend's eyes when he died. Would you like to know which one of them shit themselves?
Would you like to know what smell he shit?
Would you like to know what he had for lunch?
I couldn't tell you because it smelled so bad.
The Joker for IBS.
You have to choose, Batman. One of them will shit themselves.
Number one or number two?
If you want to save Rachel, you'll have to shit. You'll have to.
No! I can't shit. It makes me feel bad. This suit is worth $1 million.
That's nothing to him.
That's true.
He could afford it. Bruce Wayne just bought DC Twitter. Yeah, Alfred does have to clean it.
That's it. I'm leaving DC Twitter. I'm leaving DC Twitter. This is unrelated to everything we've been talking about, from running to
that if which doesn't Joker kill you makes your bowels looser.
Thank you, Lawson.
Sorry.
No, that was important. That was actually very important.
This is unrelated to both running and if the Joker was driven by IBS. But I thought this was very strange last night. I was watching TV with my wife's family. We watched Ozark.
Mm.
Season 4 of Ozark.
Yeah.
Where they shoehorned into the plot, because I have not been watching this show, mm-hmm. that one of the characters had to listen to all of Nas's Illmatic.
All right.
And like, just organically sprinkled in every song from the album Illmatic. Played That's throughout the show.
Very odd.
And then okay. she runs into Killer Mike and is like, Killer Mike, do you think this track rocks? And he's like, let me listen. And then he bobs his head a little bit and he's like, yeah, they were really doing it.
This is about track. Money laundering, this show?
It's about money laundering in Appalachia. And so that's why I'm
listening
kind of
to
like,
rap music.
They explain how it's kind of like in Queensbridge, you had to rob foreigners in the 90s.
Right,
you had
right,
no other
right.
choice.
It's like your first day in Fight Club. That's
if this to... is your first day in Queensbridge,
Queensbridge, you gotta rob.
You gotta write a letter to the shorty on track 6.
Anyway, I just thought that was really surreal and I wanted to bring it up.
I have to ask, is Ozark, I haven't watched Ozark, like, is that a fun thing to watch with your
I think it is the shittiest show in the world. I hate Ozark.
I thought it was like, my understanding of Ozark, I've never seen it, was that Netflix was like, we could use an AI to make our own Breaking Bad.
That is exactly what it is.
Okay.
It's Breaking Bad, but about how cool it is to do taxes.
Taxes are so freaking awesome.
If Walter White, instead of knowing science and how to make bombs and stuff, was just like, you need a W-4 for that, but you want a W-6. Good luck getting away with that one.
It's a freelancer's nightmare.
I love the smell of fresh W-4s.
Now I gotta kill this girl because my forms are misfiled. It's the worst show. I hate it.
It sounds bad. It's very blue, I think, is my understanding. It looks
very
blue.
They say the word. Oh, do you mean like they curse a lot or do you mean the color?
No, whenever I see an image of it, it is bright blue.
Yeah, it's both. They curse and it's blue. It's both of my least favorite things.
The two types of blue. It's colorfully very blue. And then also Jason Bateman says like jizz a lot.
Yeah. Is Jason Bateman the Walter White in that show? Like, that's
he's Walter White and he's like, now I got to dump a load as I fill out this form.
These 1099s are like jizz.
Why don't you fuck my tits if you're going to use that expense? And then they'll kill someone for no reason. And that's the show.
That sounds dope. I want to see that.
That's really blue funny. In both in language and in color, both audio and visually. You're watching it and you're saying, clean this up. Clean this up. A bit messy. Clean it up. Not what I want in my club and not what I want on my show.
I mean, yeah, now we have prestige television. This is what we get. We have to get.
This is what we get. We get to review every track on Illmatic.
An Netflix album, like, literally uses AIs now to write their shows. It's crazy.
Is that true?
I don't know about writing, but I know that they were like,
no, I made that up right now.
So everything I said, I was not true, but my friend, no, they like, they use it for the premises. So like, I know that House of Cards was like, apparently they're like, people who like British dramas or whatever also like Kevin Spacey. So they were like, that we have to figure out a political drama with Kevin Spacey, and they like wrote it.
British people are into sexual pests.
This feels like the Monkeys with Typewriters and or a dartboard situation.
Well, just do like, I have a show it? For you,
oh,
Lawson.
That's so interesting that Lawson, you would say that.
Do I have a if you like Monkeys with Typewriters, check out like the Hamlet Factory.
It's like we have the writer and creator of Hamlet Factory in the room right now is what it almost feels like.
Holy
clock. The prestige show.
I'm here to put the guests over.
Thank you, thank you.
That's what I do. I look up at the lights.
Go to HBO and search Hamlet for 3 episodes of my cartoon or the movie Hamlet.
Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen Hamlet, one of the best dramas. Mm.
Who's your favorite guy in Hamlet?
The Northman.
He is Hamlet. I didn't know that. So the Northman is based on like the legend of Amleth, and I didn't know that that was the origin of Hamlet. And now that I know, I'm like, well, all Shakespeare did, he just moved an H over. He didn't even move a new name.
Well, he's like, they can't relate to it in the end. That's not how names are in this
gotta
century
slide
of England.
That H.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we
slide
talk to.
To the right.
Mind if I slide the H? Uh oh.
Yeah.
Now to put it in my dumbass sing song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, William Shakespeare was famously a cool cartoon character in the 90s.
Skibble dee dee, skibble dee doo. Time to make a buckaroo. I'm Shakespeare. Yeah.
Shakespeare was a black character voiced by a white guy in a children's cartoon. That was his big thing.
That was, you could do that back then. There were no rules about
time.
That kind of stuff.
It was a different time.
If anyone tried to yell at you about anything, you just call them a witch and then they would be tortured to death. That was how it worked.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. To me, I don't want to get up on my soapbox.
I know.
But I think that's the way that things should. We need to go back to the way things were. Shakespeare was around.
When men were men and non-white cartoon characters were voiced by white people.
When Dan Castellaneta was everywhere.
Man, I'm just tired of these POCs taking the jobs of these poor white voice actors.
Yeah, only have 20 roles on the same show.
I feel like we end up at this every week. So.
It's because of Dragon Ball. Does it to us.
It's because of Yu-Gi-Oh! And all of the voices they do there.
Sure. Yeah. There's some real colorful voices in Yu-Gi-Oh!
I mean, Paradox. Yeah. Come on. Mm. Come on now.
Yeah. I miss them.
I do miss them. They were the best.
Every episode we watch, I'm like, man, we'll never see those guys again.
I am enjoying this arc of Yu-Gi-Oh! Though, because it has the most Maximilian Pegasus, which is all I am here for.
True.
I like Pegasus. He's a cool guy.
He also, in this episode, he says the word gauche. I don't know. Like, it's not even ironic. Like, he means
you watch him and you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing marmalade.
He's doing marmalade what? What's it called?
Marmalade watch. Check
your
wrist.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Check your goddamn wrist. It's marmalade watch. I recorded one in the 5-minute break between us doing this show.
Right, look.
The tag's always working, right? He's always on top of the game.
Look at how little effort went into creating it and why it is such a good thing to keep making.
He's beginning to be feel like a content god.
There it is. You've got 2 views. I'm gonna give it a like.
Yes, slam that like. And here's the thing about Marmalade Watch, people do not like it.
I mean, I imagine if you come across it in your feed, it is very confusing.
You're just like, this is nothing. There's nothing going on. There's no dance. There's no teens doing a knockout game. As far as I can tell, TikTok is like people with 6 million followers just reposting knockout games they found. And they're like, ooh, head hurt after that. Hell, man.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing you can do on TikTok is you can find a video and then record yourself next to it being like, oh,
Oh no! Damn.
That's the genre.
Damn, I miss high school. I'm 35.
Yeah. I showed my mom the time Rock Lee dropped the weights or whatever.
Oh, she didn't know what it meant. She doesn't watch cartoons. My mom commented, looks heavy. When Piccolo's hat hit the ground. Should we talk about video games for even a moment?
I mean,
dare we?
Shall we?
Shall we? And should we?
Can we, though?
This is the video game chat podcast, right? The premium, I mean, one compared to all.
This is why they're begging for it.
Yeah. The
they're
Patreon
clawing
heads
at the doors. Yeah. For
what do you call the Ball and Out Super fans? Do you have like a name for them?
Ballers? We call them piss pigs.
Oh, right.
Oh yeah, pay pigs also.
Pay pigs and piss pigs and. We used to do a lot of stuff we don't really do anymore.
All that left with Jeremy Hammond.
Yeah, there were a lot more angles to it. We were a MAGA show behind the paywall for a while. That was something I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's again one of those things, though, is did I just enjoy it because of how mad it made Katie? How uncomfortable and scared it made her for some reason to think.
Doesn't
like,
feel as fun if she's not here, huh?
Well, I mean, it's no.
Now we're just
fun.
Doing MAGA.
Now you're just doing MAGA alone.
If you're not doing MAGA to specifically upset somebody, are you just doing it?
That's I'm true, from probably. Massachusetts. I could just do that.
That is like that's like the motivation for most actual MAGA people is that it pisses off the Katie in their lives.
Yes, they have to find a Katie, but we have one built in, and that's true. That's a business tip. The Evangelion is built around the Katie.
That's true.
That's who's inside. Okay. Did anybody play a video game this week?
Well, I feel bad because I always play the same games. So I feel like I'll defer to Jeremy.
No, that's no good.
Because Jeremy plays a lot of games, right?
Yeah, he's addicted to games.
I'm always on addictinggames.com because I'm so addicted to this stuff.
Oh my god. Shit. Do you ever play Stick Fighters?
I think I probably have.
Is that the Spiders? Game where that you just like there's a bunch of loot around and you just pick it up and try to use it to kill everybody?
There were so many good games in the 2000s that were just like
Heli Attack
a stick
2
figure. Heli Attack 2, Pico's Revenge. We have played on screen for this show.
Nidhogg.
Nidhogg.
Shootout. Have you guys played Bush Shootout? Remember that one?
I have not played. Is that where you're George Bush?
You're George W. Bush, and you're in the White House, and it's been attacked by, you guessed it, terrorists.
Oh,
and you have to shoot your way out.
What the fuck?
This sounds like
How
did I miss this on the news?
Pretty interesting political satire going on in Bush Shootout.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing about that era is like there was so much criticism about is this war legal? Is it ethical? But everyone's forgetting about when the terrorists successfully destroyed the White House and Bush had to shoot his way out of it.
Yeah. And this game puts you into his shoes and you experience firsthand
his
the
cowboy
trauma.
Shoes.
Yeah, his I think they're called boots.
Yeah,
sometimes. Boots?
Depends.
With a T?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You can put them on a monkey.
A lot of the ones that were you were George Bush in some capacity, I noticed were bad. That's something I remember feeling.
Yeah.
At the time.
I'm sure it's correlation, not causation, Alex.
Yeah. It can't be Bush's like, fault.
I don't think he designed the games. I'm not saying that. That's a conspiracy
theory.
What if
he did, though?
Bush did. Bush did mini clip.
In his downtime. What if in his downtime he didn't design, but he oversaw?
He's a painter.
Producer.
Who knows? He's a creative guy.
Yeah.
All of those old addicting games about being a veteran, those are Bush.
Mm-hmm. If you follow the money in the Nazi gold from World War II, Prescott Bush signed a contract with New Ground.
He albino black sheep has been in the Bush family for generations.
Here is a picture of George H.W. Bush shaking hands with Britney Spears topless in a volleyball game. You know, I didn't like those because that never was her in there. They just said
those
it
were
was.
Fake. Those were photoshopped.
Is yeah. either photoshopped or even worse, like a crayon drawing of like a woman. It's like this could be anything. This is nothing. I'm not gonna win your volleyball game. I remember a George Bush game where he had to. I don't even know if this is a full game or just an advertisement, but it was like George Bush squaring up, boxing Osama bin Laden, who wow. even though he is 6 foot 10 or 11 in real life, wow. had no hands, and you could just really? Beat him unmerciful really? In this game. Good yeah. Lord.
Well, that's what happens. If you do 9/11, we will make you lose or we'll make you not good in a boxing video game for the internet.
You're going to be tier zero.
That's your punishment.
I do have a very, I remember like a lot of post 9/11, like Newgrounds had a lot of those games where you could blow up or fight Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Or do a lot of weird shit to him.
Okay, and so George W. Bush was 6 feet, so a 10-inch reach is what we're talking about.
Disadvantage.
Yeah.
How tall is Osama?
Osama bin Laden. And
if you think he's dead.
If you think he's actually dead,
really he was 6 foot that. Five.
He was not 6 foot ten.
Okay.
So. That's still fucking huge.
That's really yeah, big. He's a big guy.
He's bigger than Brock Lesnar.
He's a famously big guy. He loves gaming. Bin yeah. Laden. That's not a joke. He was a big
we don't
gamer.
Joke around here.
No, I would never joke about Bin Laden. But they when they raided his house or whatever, they found a bunch of video games.
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. I think he played online time. Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's
with
weird.
With Jim in the headset.
Yeah.
Call of Duty headset.
Yeah, he was loose with the N-word, so if that's something.
And the F-words. The
before you platform Osama bin Laden, yeah, consider the way he was talking on Call of Duty. Yeah.
He said the N-word in 2008 in a YouTube video, so...
Yeah, Osama bin Laden watching the Boondocks and thinking it's cool for him to say it.
Yeah, it was not quoting a rap song, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He was low-key racist.
I'm really into this guy canceling Osama bin Laden for being problematic. Very funny to me.
Yeah.
Oh shit. I don't even remember what I was gonna talk about. That really tickled me.
Are you looking up a game?
You know what it is I got my phone out to look up something, and then the blue light of Twitter.com erased whatever that thought was, and I'm no longer able to access it.
You better block yourself with Twitter.
Look up Bush Shootout, Alex, if you're on your phone.
Bush Shootout.
Look that shit up.
Okay. What if I'm on like a list?
Rice was in it.
That?
Yeah, you're on a list of epic gamers.
Is she a playable character in that?
I don't remember if you could play as Condoleezza Rice, but
or
is she's
NPC,
definitely
like,
in it.
Rescue her or something.
I don't remember.
People are still playing.
Give
Bush
you
Shootout.
A gun? Really?
Yeah. There's like
Came
replays from
early.
2020 that are like hard mode Bush Shootout Prestige.
All right. Nice. They're still out there. Bush is still shooting out.
Yeah. When he's not paying, he's shooting.
Yeah.
The thing is, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He's retired from that life.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never really retire, Alex.
You never really retire from killing
from
people
that.
In the Middle East. That's what I've always said.
Yeah, you've said that a lot. Usually it's a warning to us.
Again, we talk
like,
about this every week.
It's actually the first thing you ever said to me, Alex, when we first met. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but man, it's really come full circle.
You know, like Bush Shootout, the video game.
Yeah. Then I went and played it.
There were a lot of good Dragon Ball Z games that you could play on these. They wouldn't necessarily be like Flash games, but there were ones that you could download that were like, look, I made a pretty bad Dragon Ball Z game that you could spend at least 40 hours playing alone.
And you're like, bet.
Did you play it?
Yes.
And then middle school was over when I finished that portion of my life, and I don't have any memories of it.
That sucks, dude, because most people, I think, would say that their best memories are middle school.
Yeah, that's so
that's
true.
A huge bummer.
It yeah, was the best you, years of my life. Bam, bam, bam.
Seventh grade, man, nothing quite like it.
Yeah. I've got hairs in new places, and yeah. I'm gonna smell all different. And I'm horny all the time, and people are disgusted by me. This is a lot of fun.
Seventh grade.
Seventh My grade. Mind is a prison. That's the main thing I remember about that age is like your brain changes and you're just like self-aware in a new way where you're like, no, everything is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember having any personality in seventh grade.
Oh, dude, you were so cool back then. You fucking rocked back then, dude.
I was so cool in seventh grade.
You were so epic.
I was the most epic boy in Woodmere Middle School.
You were the graffiti king of Long Island, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You got it.
There he is. We finally got it. Book him, boys.
He's from Long Island.
He's from Long Island.
Lock him up.
Well, that was some good video game talk, I think.
Elden Ring, that's what I've been playing. I haven't played it in a few weeks now, but I'd like to play it more.
What level are you? I fell very far behind.
Me too. I'm like 75.
Oh, bro, I'm higher than you, bro.
I haven't been playing it much.
Does it go up to 100?
It goes way past 100.
Oh,
I think,
God.
I've read that standard for PvP is 160, as you're expected.
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
I'm at 104.
Scrub.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't
I'm in
take
the capital.
That risk.
I'm in the capital right now. I'm hanging out with my boys. I just haven't played in a little while. It's I've been a busy bee.
Jeremy, you're underleveled for the capital.
Am I really?
Yeah, capital average level is 90 to 110.
That's crazy because it's so freaking easy for me.
No, come Whoa. On. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to those guards have big shields and they're going to smash you with them?
Easy. I was like, I must be overleveled for the capital because it's so easy.
You must be confused about the areas. I'm sorry about this, everybody.
Jeremy, I was thinking, like, if someone has trouble in this, then they must be a bad gamer.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. He hasn't played in a long time.
The listeners deserve an apology. For Jeremy being too good at the game.
It's not a show where we're disrespectful towards Elden Ring. That's something we are not.
Of course not. Of course not. It's a simple game.
Yeah.
It's a simple game. Agree it's a little too easy. It's a little too easy, yeah. But it's fun.
I'd also agree to disagree on that. And so what we're going to do, because it is that time for this show that we're on now, is we're going to play everyone's favorite segment, Lawson or Lyson.
Oh,
no.
Play the music.
In the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. Lawson, who plays real cards, and Lyson, who makes them up.
All right. It's Lawson or Lyson time, everybody. Everyone's favorite game. We did explain this on the first show, but I'm going to reiterate, because reiteration is fun. And also, some people only listen to this.
I wouldn't be the world's best duelist if I smoked marijuana. It's weird.
Anyway, so the way Lawson or Lyson works is there's Lawson. Hey, that's me. I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you real Yu-Gi-Oh cards. But then sometimes there's that dastardly Lyson who shows up and he reads out.
And he makes up cards.
Yeah.
Or he steals them from other games.
Which is a real piece of shit move. We do not endorse here on. The ball and out running around time or whatever this one's named.
Yeah.
One time I named a pro wrestler when Katie wasn't here.
Oh my God.
Will I do it this time? Who knows?
Katie, you gotta show up for the pod.
Jeremy, I will warn you, I'm getting pretty good at guessing these cards and whether or not they're lies. So I wish you the best of luck and may the best man win.
Okay. Is it a winner?
So... yes.
Yeah, well, there's always a winner.
Yeah.
I play for keeps.
The parameters are as follows. I will read the name of the card I will give you its type, its attack, and defense. And then I will describe the art. And then I will pass to you. So,
Get ready to eat dirt, scrub.
For example, if I were to say to you, the Dark Magician, you're like, that's a real card.
That's like, that's a real card. Fake as fuck.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm gonna mop the floor with this scrub.
Yeah.
But if I were to say to you, Venusaurus Rex, it'd be like you just took a Pokemon and then said Rex at the end.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Okay. Although, I think this is gonna be like hanging out in the Capitol at level 75, a cakewalk.
Everything he says is so wrong. It makes me mad. It's like I'm playing a game with two license, it feels like.
All right, so let's delve into this bad boy. First up on the docket here, we have Bolt Penguin.
Bolt Penguin
is a thunder type monster. With 1100 attack, 800 defense, and as far as the art goes, he's a penguin, but instead of little wings, he's got like jumper cables.
Okay, do we buzz in?
No, we don't have to. We're gonna get an official tally here, but I just want to say he's top. His stats are top heavy, but penguins are top heavy. That's all I wanted to say.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. Did you have anything to add about Bolt Penguin?
I mean, I'm 100% sure of my answer. Okay. I know for a fact if this is a Lawson or Lyson.
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think I'm talking to a fucking Lyson right now.
Really? I think this is a
fictional Yu-Gi-Oh card.
This sounds extremely like a real Yu-Gi-Oh card to me. I absolutely think this is a real Yu-Gi-Oh card.
I think that this is a sick invention of Lyson's mind.
I can pretty much see this in the show right now in my mind when I close my eyes.
I think this is something that Lyson dreamed up to trick us and make us look like fools.
We'll see about all that.
All right, so we have one real, one fake. When it comes, when it comes to Bolt Penguin, he is real. That is a real Yu-Gi-Oh card.
I know Yu-Gi-Oh cards and how dumb they are. When the second you said he's a penguin with jumper cables for arms, I was like, this is 100% existing in the real world.
I'm going to look him up. Boot Penguin is his name?
Bolt. He doesn't even know his name.
Bolt Penguin.
I'm still not convinced he's real.
Say his name.
You can Google for the art.
Wow. He really is a penguin with jumper cables for arms.
It's pretty.
That Lawson fucking sucks. Don't lie.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Unlike Lyson, who exclusively lies.
One of us could only tell the truth, and one of us can only lie.
Yeah, that's kind of where I got the idea.
That's kind of where it came from, yeah.
Oh, he's in the anime at some point.
Yeah. So
look forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Next card up on the docket. We usually do three of these. Next card up on the docket is Chainsaw Insect.
Okay. Well, now you have my attention.
Chainsaw insect. Guess its type, Alex.
It's a machine.
It's actually an insect.
Bullshit.
I could have guessed that.
It is an insect type. It has, now this is where it gets weird. It has 2,400 attack, 0 defense.
Wow.
What?
The glass cannon, if I ever saw.
You must be misreading.
No, I
read it again.
I also definitely didn't just make that up. He has 2,400 attack.
Why would you say that? Why would you say defense. That part?
I'm but definitely reading a real card. And not just making that. A card up to throw you. And as far as the art goes, you know termites have those mandibles that go like that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like
sideways,
that, but
for the listener. Of, sideways.
Yes, you know, termite mandibles, listeners, Google that. And then instead of the mandibles, picture if that was a chainsaw.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well,
chainsaw insects.
How does he have 0 health? Does he have like some sort of ability?
We do not read those here. This man language is of origin? To cheat his way to the top.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Language of origin, Japanese.
Fair enough. I think Lawson would never lie about such a thing. I think this is a real Yu-Gi-Oh card, and the idea that Lawson would make up such a creature as Chainsaw Insect is just sick and horrifying to me. So I think he's real.
Here's the thing. The fact that he has zero defense makes me think he is not a made-up card. Because as one of his clever lies, Lyson would not think to make a stat so low. And for this reason, I know he is real. And he is an insect to look out for when camping this summer. This is Lawson's card.
This is a good strategy by Alex, because once you win the first round, you can just copy the other player for the other two rounds and automatically win.
I'll ride you.
Well, when it comes, so you guys both think this is real. Well,
I'll change it to fake to be the opposite of Alex, so make it more fun.
Well, when it comes to Chainsaw Insect, he is real. That is also a real card.
You dumb idiot. You thought you could get around the king? The man who's been lied to the most in America? I went to college.
College of Lies?
Oh, I just paid a lot of money to get a useless degree, I guess. Oh, right. I've been lied to a lot. Anyway,
a degree in fictional Yu-Gi-Oh characters.
The lie was the American dream.
I'm incredibly equipped for screenwriting. Done nothing for me.
All right. Last card up on the docket here. Dandelion. Now, here's the thing about...
You must be misreading that.
Is that two words?
No, it is not. It's not a Marmalade Watch thing. It is one word. I will spell it. It is Dandy.
Okay.
Lion.
Okay.
As if to say a dandy lion.
I like this guy.
And the thing about him, he is a plant type. He has 300 attack, 300 defense.
Loser alert. What a waste of time.
And the other thing about Dandelion.
Looks like the bar is empty at 3 a.m., ladies. Go home if Dandelion's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an anthropomorphic flower, but his face is that of a lion with like little whiskers.
He makes me want to throw up.
He's got a tail. It's got a lion's tail.
I do like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Chainsaw Insect real quick. Damn, he's got two chainsaws on his face.
Yeah.
That's too much. That's
disgusting. Yeah.
Well, one for each mandible.
He does have an ability. If this card battles a monster, your opponent draws one card at the end of the damage step. Which seems...
That sounds good.
I'm on the websites where I don't see their abilities.
I just don't know how the game works. I want to be honest with you. But that said, Dandelion is also real. That sounds 100% like a real card to me.
I want him to be real, but I think he's fake. I would like for him to be real, but I unfortunately don't think he is.
Allow this to be a perfect coup de grace on Jeremy. A 3-0 of disgrace.
Jeremy, would it change your mind if I added the detail? That Dandelion not only has whiskers, but he's got like a little blush on his cheeks.
Oh, Dandelion. No, I want him to be real. I want him to be real more than anything. So no, that doesn't change my mind. But I do think he's fake because I don't want to have the same answer as Alex because it's boring.
Okay. Well, when it comes to Dandelion.
Uh-huh.
He is real. That's
another yeah. We're both winners because Dandelion exists in the world. I'm looking
at Dandelion.
The lights are flashing on and off as I dunk on Jeremy over and over again.
In terms Dandelion.
Of steel cards.
Dandelion is so sassy.
Yo, incredible.
Y'all ready for this?
I was not ready.
Dandelion
wasn't ready, folks.
Oh my god.
Might be my favorite card we've ever done on the show.
Actually. I'm so full of myself right now. It's insane.
Yeah. If you send Dandelion to the graveyard, you can summon two fluff tokens.
Huh.
A fluff token.
So if you're running a fluff deck, you gotta run Dandelion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You gotta get those fluff tokens. I mean, you get enough fluff tokens, you can build a mega fluff.
Oh, the fluff tokens are so cute. They're a little dandelion flower with eyes.
Or you can build... like
monsters, or are they like, what do they do?
Do they build Fluffatron, the heartless?
They have zero attack and zero defense. Oh, you know what it is? Effect. When added to the battlefield, they build Fluffatron, the heartless.
There it is. And that's how good of the game I've gotten.
So good. You're too good, Alex.
36 episodes, and I've grown untouchable at Yu-Gi-Oh! Lore and knowledge.
The skill we hoped you never attain.
My enemies have prayed this day would not come. Well, it's actually that time where we then recount the things that happen in adult anime Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters, the show on Cartoon Network or Kids WB at 6 a.m.
Love it.
Let's play the tape. Right, Duel Monsters. We're on episode 36, Match of the Millennium, part 2 of 5. It's a 5-part brawl, and it couldn't be any more stretched out, if you ask. They couldn't stretch it farther out than it's been stretched out.
Yeah.
Now, this is for Jeremy's knowledge and his general well-being. Okay, so, Jeremy, are you listening? Do you have your pen out?
I'm listening.
Jeremy, this is the finals of the Duel Island Tournament.
Mm.
The Duelist Island Tournament, just for children and some adults. And they're all dueling on this thing. And now it's come down to this. It's Yugi from the game Yu-Gi-Oh!
Sure.
Who has a pharaoh living in his mind from a pendant that he brings around his grandfather gave him.
This made me, watching this today, made me realize that Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the same show as Moon Knight.
It couldn't be less similar.
They're the same show. And I tweeted that. I tweeted that, and a bunch of people liked it, which means that it is literally true.
I haven't seen Moon Knight.
No, they're very different, but they're both about a guy with split personalities.
Doesn't even really believe it, folks.
They both have split personalities and ancient Egyptian power.
Huh.
Oh, that does sound similar.
That actually is kind of somewhere weird.
Outside of that, they're not that similar, but those that is a pretty specific...
How many card games does Moon Knight play?
So far, zero, but I assume in the final episode. I tweeted that, and right before we started recording, and someone was like, Moon Knight came out, first appeared in 1975, but Yu-Gi-Oh! First appeared in 1996. It's fine to compare a product to another product. Everyone does it for Lord of the Rings. But why is Moon Knight an issue?
What?
Why does this
is person... anything an issue? In this
person took this very seriously.
Why is Moon Knight God an issue? It. That's something
why
I'm always
saying. Why are you
trying
to take down Moon Knight? Is it because he's the Jewish Marvel character?
Yeah.
He's the only Marvel character just for Jews? He used to be a different character and has now been carved out just for them. Here's the thing. Yugi's battling Pegasus, and Pegasus is the CEO of Duel Monsters. Mm-hmm. And so he has all of the cards. He's a fancy man who has a dead wife, and that made him silly. Yeah. This is his backstory.
Yes, this is what happened.
I mean, that would how could you not become silly if your wife dies?
he's kind of like the Joker, but for like cards. And so he has a manservant in the castle, and he has long hair, and one of his eyes is gold, and with it he can read your mind and soul.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a big part of it. And yes. He also, this is a big deal too, in addition to being able to read your mind and see all your cards with his magic eye, he has all of the unreleased cards that they play tested but decided weren't fair to actually print in the game.
He printed them and he uses them in duels that he gets to play in.
Good for him.
Which, even minus the eye, very not fair to have a tournament.
Yeah. I was watching it because I haven't watched it since I was a kid, but I loved it when I was a kid. And I was like, you know, now that I've played card games, like, Yugi does not know the meta at all. Like, he's not familiar with what cards to play the game. But if Pegasus is just pulling cards out of his ass, I mean, that is pretty difficult to counter.
What we've been going through in the last 10 episodes is he stops trusting the Pharaoh and stops letting him come out. And then he's playing the game and like doesn't know how it works. And it's like, oh, you black out when the Pharaoh comes out.
So you legitimately don't know.
You just are like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And then you wake up and you've won a card game.
Yeah.
That's your experience in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically Moon Knight.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same as Semitic hero Moon Knight. Is all I wanted to say. Okay, so Match of the Millennium Part 1. Maximilian Pegasus has been washing Yugi, the child with a pharaoh in him. And it hasn't even been close. And the last episode ended with him reading Yugi's hand aloud for the room, which was just rude, I thought.
Not very nice.
Pegasus, he's not even fun in the way he flexes his powers. He's just so overt about it. It's not fun.
It's not really fair or nice. It's very rude. It's one of those things where it's like, well, it's his house, so we can't say anything. Right, but it's like, this is out of line the way this man is behaving.
Yeah.
I know his wife died at some point, but come on.
We're all children. He's an adult, but I feel like this is a little rude.
I like to keep the headcanon that like he was evil when his wife was alive also.
Yeah, that must be the case.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea that he became silly because his wife died. He was very serious and proper and good. And then his wife died and he was like, I'm going crazy.
I'm going into the world.
I'm going to call it now. I think Yugi has to become silly to beat him.
Mm.
I think that's going to be the twist, is he's got to get sillier.
He's got to become a toon?
He's got to become as silly as Pegasus, who is now playing a bunch of toon cards, which we'll get to in a minute. Other thing you have to know, Tristan, who is Yugi's friend from school, has snuck off into the building to steal the lifeless body of a child who had his soul sucked into a card in a medieval dungeon.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And
it was Tuesday.
And Bakura, who is their other friend from school, is also possessed by a demon.
I love this guy. I love him because he's not in this episode, but like, he is, but the early version of him where he's just like a weird little British guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they go on and off with that.
But if one of your like friends started doing that, like, wouldn't you be like, are you good?
He does, and I don't know if this is an acting decision or part of the show, but it seems like an American guy making up a fake accent. He's like, heavens, Yugi, fate.
Great.
They're like, sure.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so maybe you're friends with that guy, and he starts talking completely differently one day, and you're like, he's just a weird guy. I'm
Pish
not going to question
posh,
it.
Joey Bones, play your trap card.
But Joey, of course, has a thick Brooklyn accent.
Yes, yeah. That's real. That he's from the streets of Brooklyn.
Yeah,
he's share love around Joey.
I run into Joey types every day on the way to my New York style bodega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joey
tough
Bones.
Boys.
every neighborhood's got a Joey Bones, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just headstrong young men who they play cards first and they ask questions later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everything that's been going on. Tristan's carrying around this lifeless body, and Bakura has gone off to find him. Yugi's friends ask Bakura as he's leaving to go find Tristan. They're like, what are you doing? Why aren't you watching the biggest match in Yu-Gi-Oh? And he's like, no reason.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they're like, yeah okay. So we're going to cut back to that. In the game, Pegasus is reading Yugi's mind. He says, you're going to put Summon Skull in defensive mode and Spellbinding Circle face down. And then Yugi's like, for my move, I play a card face down and put Summon Skull in defensive mode.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
He just said you would do that.
It's like watching Forrest Gump when he would narrate the thing he did and then he fucking didn't.
Yeah.
A lot of this episode is like Forrest Gump.
I don't know. Have you guys done this bit yet? Not to derail, but because I assume you may have. But Millennium Eye, I just couldn't stop thinking of Millennial Eye. And that's a whole, that's a whole can of worms.
What is this eye always texting and sending emojis?
Okay. This eye? The eye that shows you how to get avocado toast?
Yeah, this eye could probably have a house if it wasn't getting a latte every day. Okay,
just making sure it's been done. Because
this eye's
I feel
got
like
student loans. And,
yeah. There's $1 million in that bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's an eye and it's watching Game of Thrones. Every week we say this. Every week.
Okay. Just making sure Millennial Eye gets said.
Was a DJ now, this eye?
I saw it in the show and I sighed and I wrote down Millennial Eye. I assume they've done it.
Saying it.
The government sends us bags of money every week for the
Every week we say it.
Just a bag with a dollar sign on it.
And
the only thing keeping this show going, the only thing keeping this show going is the dark money coming in from the CIA every time we use the words Millennial Eye.
Of course. That's Soros money.
They just need us to say that. They won't say why. Anyway, Pegasus has this card on the board from last episode. His name's Rioron, and he's like an egg with arms and legs, and he gets switched to attack mode, and wouldn't you know it, inside that egg is a big dinosaur who now is still a little bit in the egg, so he's like a funny dinosaur with egg on his head.
Yeah, he's cool.
Can I retroactively change my favorite run to Rioron?
Yes,
I'm sticking with the runs.
I like Rioron. He's a dinosaur and an egg, man. Two things I love, dinosaurs and eggs.
I think I'm going to keep mine where it's at, pooping.
I hope Jeremy doesn't change his, because we talked about it for a long time.
Yeah, can you cut all of that?
Yeah, actually, I can't have my manager know what I said that. So.
Someone dump it. Dump that.
Yeah.
Well, Rioron, he gets caught in the spellbinding circle trap that Yugi had played face down, to which Pegasus reacts, Oh no. Which is like, come on. We know you're reading his mind. Stop doing this.
It was the best.
No.
He truly is a legend for that one.
Honestly. He's good.
He's playing a 13-year-old in a card game.
This show's like fun to watch.
He is tortured.
I look forward to it every week. I look forward to it every week. And so, Yugi, he thinking that he's finally got Rioron with his trap that he did, he goes to blast it with Summon Skull. And that's when Pegasus activates his counter trap displacement, which takes Yugi's trap and moves it back to Summon Skull, making their numbers reversed. And then the Summon Skull is just owned and wrecked and El Mao and uninstalled.
L plus ratio.
And Yugi gets no pussy and he's triggered. And Joey is triggered watching it in the balcony, and their friend Megan is there and she's like, come on guys, stop being triggered. And that's kind of like their thing. We cut back to Tristan, who has a child's corpse on his back, and he's running around this castle, and two FBI men in suits have cornered him, and they have guns that have been digitally edited out of the show.
Is that true?
Yeah, every time they have guns, they're just like pointing fingers.
That's so funny.
Their hands up like this, or like
this. I did not catch that. I'm gonna rewind.
Hey, watch it, Tristan. And so they're like, we're going to get you, Tristan. And that's when Demon Bakura. So Bakura is now being the demon, and you can tell because he looks the same, but he uses that voice and he shows
up
and he's
Bakura.
Like,
yeah,
If you touch Tristan, you will rue the day you were born.
And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
But no one sends him to like a therapist. They're just like, he talks like that now.
There's an Australian teenager on the island. Why is his hair shock white?
Yeah, we got a vague white ethnic here attacking us. Yeah, they're like not dissuaded by that. And then he pulls a Yu-Gi-Oh card out and it traps them in circles of light in real life. And they're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine showing up for your job and some fucking teenager with shock white hair puts you in an actual card trap.
Yeah, I'd what be do
fucking
you need-
fuming, bro.
What do you need me to do? Catch like a child intruder? That doesn't sound so bad. Oh my goodness.
What the
Demon
fuck?
Demon Bakura. I'm not getting paid enough for this.
Where they edit out the guns and it is jarring now. They have clearly edited out. It looks very silly.
It's debatably the best part of the show.
It's great. So when it comes to Yami Yugi and Demon Bakura, like it's like a Stewie Griffin situation where like it's not clear if the characters can hear that they sound different.
Right.
Or notice like he's clearly fucking a different guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said it better than a Stewie Griffin situation. That is precisely
supposed to think.
What the deuce?
What the deuce, Kaiba? Damn you, woman.
Is Kaiba still around? Is he like in hell or something?
He's trapped in a card.
Stewie Griffin?
Okay. No, Kaiba.
Oh,
Stewie is in a sort of hell in that he's a freaking baby, but he's a genius.
Yeah, and he's under his stupid mom is dragging him around.
Classic.
Although they really dropped that off later season to Family Guy. They just thought he's like a gay adult man in a baby's body. Yeah,
he's eventually just gay as his character, which is weird.
It is weird. It feels like it's missing the main conflict Stewie used to bring to the show, which is trying to kill Lois.
Right. Yeah. Which was an interesting archetype that we hadn't seen before in adult animation.
Yeah.
It added narrative. It added complexity. Mm-hmm.
There were always stakes.
Yeah. If you look at the Joseph Campbell story circle, the hero's journey, you know, obviously there's the baby who wants to kill his mother. I mean, that's just a classic trope.
There's the evil monkey in the closet.
Yes.
There's the chicken man. You fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are all tropes.
There's the talking dog that they can understand the dog talks, but the dog, it's not weird either.
The dog is in love with the wife and he went to Brown.
All stories from like the ancient Greek poems have a horny neighbor named Quagmire.
Yeah.
Gigatus. Yeah. I'm thanks for doing a Family Guy podcast. That is
sick.
That is where the money is, fellas.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone's done that. Family Guys.
It's never been done.
That's what it's called. Family
My
Guys.
My new project arises.
Awaken, new podcast. Awaken.
No one asked for this.
Luckily, there's a Family Guy.
Oh, boy. All right. There's a lot of this episode left.
Yeah, sorry,
depths, Poseidon. Go ahead.
Okay. Pegasus is dueling Yugi. He says he's invincible because he can read your mind. And without that, he also fares unfair cards, which we discussed before. We now at this point plays Magical Toon World, a card that only he has where all of his monsters are then turned into cartoons who are the same as normal, but are cartoons now and can do whimsical things like disappear into a book when you're going to hit them or just cheat. They just cheat now.
Yeah.
I guess the text of the card is like your cards cheat.
Yeah.
They can do a little flirty wink now.
They basically can do whatever the fuck Pegasus decides they can do. Like, yeah. They're immune to damage and they hit harder.
I never understood how it works.
He's essentially playing like Dungeons and Dragons and make 'em ups now, and then Yuki's still playing Magic Gathering.
Yeah.
So Rearon is now manga Rearon.
The rule is fluid, Yuki boy.
I draw a land.
Shit, my hand is only lands. This game fucking sucks.
I'm mana flooded. Damn it.
Why do they even have this? This is so stupid.
Your cards are more expensive than mine.
I'm going to Hearthstone.
I call it RNG Stone. LOL. That's a joke for fans of Hearthstone.
I watched Trump, the YouTuber.
Before the President Trump, he was out there. That must have been something for him. I think about that all the time, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Every week, I think, that guy didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
He definitely, and then he didn't pivot his channel to be like, and we're in the Trump train. Mexico's gonna pay for it.
It was before President Trump, but it wasn't before Donald Trump.
That's true.
I don't know, you know.
That would be great if he did lead in. He's just like, anyway, all right, guys, it's MAGA time. Make all games awesome.
behind the paywall.
I'm a dorky Chinese guy, but it's okay to be white. And this week's deck is a zoo deck.
But he does it all like subtly. Like he pretends that he doesn't know who Trump is. So when he says that, he's like talking about white decks.
We must secure a future for zoo decks. Okay. This is very stupid and also distracting me from finishing the episode.
Sorry. We said we'd be done right now.
Please, I'm trying to focus on Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters episode 36. Hold on.
Have we done Millennial Eye yet?
We've done it every week, Jeremy! We do it every time! Yeah. They're sipping lattes and they have emojis. Pegasus is his Vangariron destroys Yugi's defense monster with his nasty nostril flame attack. That is a quote. I didn't add nasty there. It's called the nasty nostril flame. It got made silly by the Toon World.
Yes.
Pegasus then switches his Toon Mermaid to attack mode, and the mermaid is again in a clam, and he says something funny about
Yeah,
she's like coming out of her clam and she's feeling just fine or something. Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
He says, nice clam.
I hope you're a clam to see me, Yugi boy. And so Yugi is like just kind of spiraling for the rest of the episode. And he's just like, fucking Celtic Guardian. Yeah. I don't know.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, man. I guess.
This game seems unfair. Okay.
Fuck it.
Okay, so Celtic Guardian has the same points as Mermaid, Toon Mermaid. Yes. And so it goes to attack, and he's like, it'll be a draw, which is like, why'd you attack then? But because the Toon Mermaid is from Toon World, even though it's a draw, she catches him with her clam hands. Yeah. She hands come out of the clam part that isn't the mermaid part.
She catches with her clam.
And then they kill this guy, and everyone's like, I don't know how it works.
They didn't explain anything about that.
What the heck is going on? That's against the rules.
Pegasus comments that he loves a good fish fry.
Mm.
Joey Bones comments, something's off with those tunes. That's his contribution.
Joey Wheeler bringing the big five-hitting observations.
Oh, I also wrote down when they go to the Toon World. He's like, to the magical Toon World. And Joey's like, ah, man, this ain't good. Yeah.
That's good. Not an ounce of fat on the script, by the way. It's a tight show.
If you're watching, you might be thinking, is this good? And then Joey shows up to be like, this ain't good.
That is what I want, you think. This is what I want from television. Way better than Ozark by a lot. So Pegasus now plays two cards face down on the field. And Yugi is just like, I'm putting only cards out in defense mode. There's no way to win the game. And then Pegasus is like, I knew you'd do that. My eye sees your thoughts. I knew you'd do that. One of them, my fucking cards doesn't let you do that. It's called the Gorgon's Eye. It turns your monsters to stone, and then you take damage for half their health. And then Yugi's like, I don't want to play. If you're going to do this, I don't want to play anymore. Pegasus then comments that statue monsters are a lot like paperweights, and then no one laughs. And then he says, tough crowd. Which, as a comedian, we're loving that.
I would love to write for him. I would love to write on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show and get to write the Pegasus lines.
Yeah, say that they're like paperweights, Pegasus.
I'm coming up with like 1,000 Pegasus lines that he's pulling out. Did we lose Lawson?
Oh, did we? He looks very serious. Lawson is looking at this episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I don't know how this is going to end.
Tough crowd.
Okay, yeah, his computer restarted, he said.
Okay.
Yeah, we lost Lawson on tough crowd. Okay, I'm going to tell him we're still recording. Come, jump right back in. Jump back in. Zoom, for all its faults, very good at catching when people's computer freeze and then keeping the track in line. So that rocks. Does it record it in separate tracks? Yeah.
Damn, Zoom. Good for you.
Damn, Zoom.
Damn, Zoom.
And you're blocking the background audio? You have default echo retraction? That's okay, Zoom. You're a good evil corporation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So okay. They might sell your info.
I don't care anymore.
No, I don't give a shit.
I don't have any. I don't have any respect left.
I'm fully with you.
Just spit on me.
I get that for like a real person, it might hypothetically be bad, but I don't know those people.
No, I'm a Toon World millennial. You know what I mean?
I don't need
that info. You can sell what I'm doing, probably. Hey, better luck you have than me, pal. Oh, yeah. That's a line I'm giving to Pegasus.
Yeah, you could sell that to him.
Anyway, Lawson is coming back, so I'm going to soldier on here. Pegasus then plays Doppelganger, who you may remember from the fight with Kaiba. Doppelganger is a long, stretchy cat who is full of mischief.
I love this guy. He's cool looking.
Pegasus comments, he's a card who does what he loves and loves what he does, which doesn't clear up anything. Pegasus adds that this card has never worked a day in his life.
This card is a good friend.
And so Doppelganger can turn into any monster on the board, and he's like, he's gonna turn into Summon Skull, and then Yugi's like, Summon Skull is dead, and he's like, he's in the graveyard, which is on the board. He's on the board, so it counts. And then Yugi's like, you're cheating so many ways. It's not fair to me. I only cheat by top decking.
I only use the soul of an ancient Egyptian. You're cheating.
The Egyptian has no idea what to do in this situation, which I'm surprised at so far. Although there are 3 more episodes. So there's a cartoon Summon Skull now. And it's like an evil demon, but it's made of cartoons. And Pegasus comments that Cartoon World has entered a dark new chapter, the chapter of fiends.
So that's when the cartoon skull guy, at first he's like a cool badass skull monster, and then he turns to a toon and he does a little sexy wink and hearts fly out of it.
To which Yugi adds, and I wrote this down, you're twisted for creating such a monstrosity, Pegasus. Don't you make my skull into a flirtatious gay man? That is the line for me. A child
You're a
pharaoh.
Sick fuck.
They gotta lock you up.
This wouldn't fly in Florida, Pegasus.
But I mean, no matter how twisted this summon skull is, he is still a force to be reckoned with. He has a lot of attack, and he blasts his Yugi statue, and now Yugi is down to 900 life points.
Bad news.
Yugi draws Dark Magician silently, and then Pegasus out loud goes, ooh, Dark Magician.
Whoops.
So just a reminder, he is not fun to play against. Meanwhile, Tristan is running away with Bakura, and he's like, wait, how do you know magic? And Bakura's like, we can't talk, there's FBI guys. And they run up a stone staircase, and then they go to like a window or a door, but it just drops into the sea, and they're like, what the fuck is this building? Where are we? Why did anyone build this?
Yeah, and they almost fall off.
Yeah, it looks like Tristan's like willing to jump out the window to his death, but Bakura's like, no, I'm gonna go to my friends in the shadow realm. And then Tristan's like, no comment. I don't know what that means.
You scare me, and I've never really liked you as a friend, so just a heads up.
I don't
didn't
really
like
think
you before,
Australian.
Don't like you now.
Okay. Lawson says his computer just keeps restarting, so we're just gonna finish without him. And just remember, Lawson rocks.
Yeah.
And he's editing this episode. So big ups to my man in the back. Yeah, so Yugi, we cut back to Yugi because Bakura is going to do more magic next episode. Yugi thinks, and then Pegasus answers his thoughts. And then Yugi's friends are like, don't be discouraged. You rock. Keep it up. It's one of those, you know, listen, five act structure is really hard and you can't just do it. It's not always like thrills wall to wall. There's like slow parts where you're just like, don't stop reading. And that's where the end of this episode is.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliffhanger. It doesn't really,
God.
Although not really, because it like starts where it ends, kind of. There's no new information for
yeah,
the
it's
battle.
A cliffhanger and it's a flat plane as well. It's both.
Yeah.
It's a show that does it all.
I enjoyed it though. It was fun to watch. It made me
want
Yu-Gi-Oh!
To
be
rate
real.
Let's rate and review even. I'm gonna ask Lawson his review. But Jeremy, what is your review?
I think it's also a 4 out of 7. I'm happy to live in the Yu-Gi-Oh! World for a little bit. I think more than Dragon Ball Z, I want Yu-Gi-Oh! To be real, and I want to play it in real life. I want card games to be a real thing, and I want the stakes to be life or death.
Card games in our life.
Unfortunately, there are not. I've looked it up, and they just don't exist. But
every day.
Every day of my life, I wish Yu-Gi-Oh!
I wish
was
I could
a real
play
game.
Games. I wish I could play games with friends, but I can't.
But it's just not possible for
me. It's not realistic to think that.
Maybe one day. But right now, we could only jump into the magical world of Yu-Gi-Oh! The TV show to live out that fantasy.
Sometimes I get friends together, and we fill out an Excel spreadsheet, and that is the closest I can get to the life of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and during the pandemic, we have to do it on Google Docs online. Everyone just type it at the same time.
It's distracting watching the little thing blink. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to Google.
Yeah,
Docs.
And I'm like, who's the anonymous horse? Because you just erased my cell.
You erased my cell. I was writing that. Lawson's getting back to me with his answer. I will also give this a 4 out of 7 because Pegasus is serving it up and he's eating it. Mm-hmm. And he's a bad bitch.
Would you say he's like a stream sniper?
Yeah, he's essentially swatting Yugi. And Yugi's going to jail and he's being killed.
Mm-hmm.
Just for streaming.
Just for being a gamer online.
Just for being a gamer. And
for being a hot, sexy gamer.
Justice is on his side, but also it's funny to watch him get owned.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, probably one of the lower points of the 5-part arc, I would guess.
Mm.
I think it's going to get a lot better. Demon Bakura is... He's 100% that bitch. And he's non-committal, and he's pretty much Lizzo.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so for that reason, because he's Lizzo, I'd give it 4 out of 7 because of body positivity.
Okay.
I don't think Lawson's going to get back to me with this review. He's not good at checking his phone, really. He's not like a phone guy.
I wish I was not a phone guy.
Awesome. When you're listening to this later, I don't even mean this disparagingly. It's just, I don't think you're a phone guy.
I don't think that if he's not a phone guy, I imagine that he doesn't see it as a bad thing.
Here's the thing is, I know Lawson doesn't have the millennial puzzle because he's not always on these dang phones. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Bakura's tells him, is that his name? Bakura?
Bakura is the bad one.
His millennial item shows him which way to swipe, left or right.
Oh my good. I wish I had that with some of these apps I'm on.
Hell yeah.
Because being single is like being lost in the shadow realm. listener, you have to know I'm turning to the camera and I'm smiling a lot because I'm relating to you as a single adult and how dating is hard and we are all doing it and we're all on these apps.
Two young single guys in New York just trying to make ends meet.
We are just cruising for tune. Like we're in an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, we're looking for our clam girls.
I'm looking to get that clam girl. That's the end of the episode, folks. I just want you to know that. That's the last thing you have to know about me. I'm looking, and I won't stop.
Nothing to plug but our bodies.
Nothing to plug but your body, good looking. I'm 23. I can't help myself.
This is the Patreon feed.
That's it. All right. God bless. Enjoy the song.
Hey, I didn't check my phone, mostly because I was just furiously trying to get my computer to turn back on. So, yeah, I didn't see the text till after, but 4 out of 7. More Pegasus, more Girder.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, jacket's in his corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Huh. Riding a stud's back at gym, you know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. Sweet Jane, oh, sweet Jane, oh, sweet Jane. I tell you something, Jack, he is a banker. And both of them save their monies. And when they come home from work, sitting down by the fire, the radio does play the classical music they jam. The march of the wooden soldiers, all your protesters, you can hear Jack say, get ready. And other people say have to work. Just watch me now. And there's even some evil mothers. Well, they're gonna tell you that everything is just dirt. You know that women never really faint, and that villains always blink their eyes. Ooh. And that, you know, children are the only ones who blush, and that life is just to die. He smiled.